What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. For me, it is getaway week here on the program because I am gearing up for a nice, I was going to say well-needed, but sometimes I got words in my head and I'm about to say them on the airwaves. And I'm like, well, no, that ain't going to sound right. So I pull back. That's what you just heard right there. I was going to say a well-needed vacation, but I don't know. I feel like my life is sort of a vacation in a good way, a nice vacation. So I won't say well-needed. I'm just going to say an enjoyable, exciting, and fun vacation. That is what I am gearing up for. I am headed to Spain. I'm here in South Florida with you now. I'll be here tomorrow and Friday. And then this weekend, I'm headed to Barcelona, and I will be in Spain for about 12 days. I will not be doing my show in Spain. My apologies in advance. All of you take vacations all of the time. Now it is my turn. So I will be off the air for 2 consecutive weeks. And you know what? After last night's poker tournament, I deserve it. 418 players last night in my poker tournament. On a Tuesday night, we got 418 people to come out to the poker room, totaling $87,000. In the prize pool. Here I was posting on social media and talking to you guys about a minimum of 50,000. We got 87,000. It was incredible. It was awesome. Would have been even better if I won. I didn't because somebody got lucky, but it's all good. Actually, the guy who knocked me out was wearing a Spain hat. It's like he knew. He's like, all right, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take the tickets from you. And I know you're going to Spain, so I'm going to have a Spain hat on and just send you off to Spain knowing that I knocked you out of the tournament. But it was an older gentleman, very nice guy, and congratulations to him for winning those tickets every single month. Not only do we have a lot of money in the prize pool in my poker tournament, but I also give out 2 seats down low to a Marlins game in their club, like the Diamond Club, and that comes with food and drink. And you could pick whatever game you want. You want to go to the Dodgers game, you want to go to the Yankees game, whatever it is, it's your pick, courtesy of the Workers' Comp Legal Center. So I had a great time last night. I'm with you guys today. I stayed at the Hard Rock last night. And now I'm doing the show. I did the show there on Monday and Tuesday. It was an awesome time. Got to say hello to so many of you. I went 2-0 yesterday as well in my Hard Rock bet plays. That was great. My close friends on Instagram, they are loving life right now. They are ready for a vacation. If you are not a close friend of mine on Instagram yet, the heck are you waiting for? Send me a DM on IG and I will send you the details. But lately, oh my gosh, I mean, I'm not telling you I win every single play that I put in. That's impossible. Somebody tells you that, they're full of it. But there is a reason I have my close friends renewing their subscription every month. There's a reason for that. You know, people ask me from time to time, they're like, hey, how's your show doing? You know, what are these stats and that stats? And I say, you know what? If you ever want to gauge how a show is doing, forget about statistics. Just think about how many people are loyal to you, especially companies. How many people keep coming back like month after month after month after month? I'm not coming on here saying, hey, cash at me, bro. Venmo me, man. Support the show. I'm not doing that. You know, if somebody wants to do that and they're hustling, go for it. But I'm just saying, if it ever comes to a point, I mean, I hope it doesn't, but if it ever comes to a point where I'm coming on here or somewhere else and I'm saying, hey, happy Wednesday to you. Here's my Cash App. Send me a tip just for talking. Like, just for speaking. I'm not doing that. If it ever came down to that, I would do something else. Because I'm just not that type. When it comes to being a close friend and I'm giving you information, that's a different story. But the talk on here, you want to know how a show is doing? Go look at last night. Go look at the line that I posted. And it got even longer once I walked into the poker room. The line, if you're familiar with that shopping area by the poker room at the Hard Rock, the line, from what I was told, almost went to the nightclub. That's just to register. It was crazy. 418 players on a Tuesday night. That is unheard of. And I couldn't do it without all of you. I feel like I should play that clip right now. I really do want to thank you. To the people who love this show, to the people who hate this show, thank you for tuning in. No matter how you feel about me or what I say or what I do, as long as you keep following, thank you. And I truly mean that. I don't come on here and try to make everybody agree with what I say, whether I like a team or don't like a team, or tell you how I'm feeling about how a team's playing or what they might do. I mean, just wait until you hear what I have to say about the Dolphins in a little bit. But I just want you to be here. I want you to be here on the airwaves with me. I want you to be on social media with me, interacting. That's what I'm all about. And from what I could tell, even more stuff is going to be coming very soon on top of what I'm doing right now here on the airwaves. There's a lot coming your way, and I'm excited about it because it will involve all of you. I like being interactive. I don't want to come on here and just be like, hey, this is what's going on, and I'm having a great time. What about you? No, I want this to be interactive. That's why I take all my trips and post stuff online, because there's a lot of you who can't take trips. Not that you don't have a passport. Not that you're like on a no-fly list or something. It's your significant other. They won't let you. You're trapped. Not trapped like that, but you got to get approval. You got to approval. I'm not about approval. I just want to do things. I don't want to have to ask anybody for approval with anything. You just do it. Do it. It's better. Haven't you heard? It's better to ask for forgiveness than approval. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but maybe that would work. Like, you got a wife or a girlfriend, you just go to Medellin for a week. Tell her you're going somewhere else. Well, maybe that would be lying. I don't know. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I don't got to deal with it. I choose to be single and do whatever the heck I want. Like tonight. Tonight I'm going to go to Joe Stonecrab because I feel like it's been a jumbo week so far. So I got to go get me some jumbos, or maybe just like four orders of large. I'm not going to invite Uncle Luke because he didn't invite me, so the heck with that. Uncle Luke likes to go eat by himself anyway. So I'm going there tonight with some friends, not those type of friends, just like regular friends. That's why you didn't hear the clip. And I'm going to enjoy a great meal, and at the same time, on my phone, or maybe I'll bring my iPad, I'll watch the Heat because we got a game tonight. I'm not going to say a big game. This isn't a big game for the Heat. Come on, big game is NBA Finals. But the play-in game, going up against the Chicago Bulls. Unfortunately, the play-in game has become a tradition with the Miami Heat organization. The Florida Panthers, they played last night. Tomorrow it's back to practice for them. They're getting ready for the Tampa Bay Lightning, I believe, 4 times in 5 years now. You want to talk about a rivalry? I mean, they were rivals, but now meeting in the playoffs so often, that's because the Panthers are now getting there. Tampa was always getting there. The Panthers weren't, but now Panthers are legit. And I hope that when I get back from Spain, the Panthers are still playing. What I don't hope is that tomorrow when I join you, we're not doing a Kill the Miami Heat season show. If I had to wager on it, which I don't have to wager on it. Actually, I wouldn't wager on it. I would decline. Even if they gave me a $500 free bet, I wouldn't bet it on the Heat and Bulls game because I want the Heat to win. But I couldn't bet on the Heat to win. Will the Miami Heat figure out the Chicago Bulls for the first time this season and then head to Atlanta to face the Atlanta Hawks? So we got the Heat in the play-in game. We got the Panthers headed to the playoffs, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. We got a lot going on. Where shall I start? Well, you're about to find out because the hour is set to officially begin.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I was doing the show yesterday in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. And before I got on the air, I watched Chris Greer's press conference. I talked a little bit about it, like all the breaking news coming from it. The talk of social media, the talk of, I guess, television shows, not only locally, but nationally. And I'll tell you this much. If I, let's say, and I didn't do this, but let's say I was doing yesterday's show in the morning before Chris Greer had spoken, I would have said, Chris Greer's going to go up there. He's got one job, and it's the same job he's got before every NFL draft, get in front of the media and say nothing at all. That's his job. He does it every year before the draft, and that's what he's going to do again. That's what I would expect. If I was doing the show before his press conference yesterday, that is 100% what I would have said. We're not going to get anything from his press conference. It's a waste of time. And look, every year, every single NFL team has their GM speak. It's not just Chris Greer. And you go around the league, they do what Chris Greer had been doing up until yesterday. You don't say anything. You just talk. You say words, but they don't have any meaning. You're not giving away anything. You're not giving the media any material. And you would think Greer would continue to do that. I mean, why not? Plus, he's sort of a dry guy. He's low-key. He's not some soundbite machine. He's more of a behind-the-scenes guy. So yesterday, he gets there to the podium. Media's right there. And what does he do? He does the complete opposite of what every GM, including himself, has done for many, many, many years. Instead of saying nothing at all, nothing meaningful, he lays everything out there. And in the end, it equaled the Miami Dolphins being an absolute mess. You're probably not surprised they're a mess. But Chris Greer sort of confirmed it for you. If Greer had said nothing at all, which is what he should have done, I would still have been skeptical of this Dolphins team. I don't want you to think like, oh, he spoke and now I think they're a mess. They lost Calais Campbell. We knew that. They lost Teron Armstead. They lost Javon Holland. They lost Hard Rock Bet Hall of Famer Raheem Mostert. Tyreek Hill had more issues off of the field. It already seemed like it was a bad offseason. And it's the middle of April. You could make the argument if Greer hadn't even got up there yesterday, the Miami Dolphins are not in a good position. But yesterday we found out even more. We knew in the morning the report had come out from the NFL Network that Jalen Ramsey and the Miami Dolphins were on the same page, and that page was, we're going to trade him. And when news got out from the NFL Network yesterday morning, people are like, whoa, this continues to be a mess. Like now Jalen Ramsey, he wants out. A top five corner in the league. A guy they just gave a 3-year, $70 million extension to last offseason. Now there's trade talks to get Jalen out of town. You had to be thinking when you heard that yesterday, well, wait a minute. I mean, we already know who's left, who's decided to leave, and now they're going to trade Jalen Ramsey? You had to think he wanted to get out of town. Then Chris Greer spoke about it. He said that they talked to Jalen Ramsey and his representation. They had been talking for weeks. And the decision was made by both sides that they were going to trade him. But here's the part that makes no sense. Jalen Ramsey, according to Chris Greer, didn't ask to be traded. So let me get this straight. Jalen Ramsey, who you just gave money to, you agree with him that he's going to be traded, but he didn't ask to be dealt. Can you make that make sense to me? I mean, the only thing that kind of equals is the Miami Dolphins no longer want Jalen Ramsey. Do you get better by giving away really good players? Because I thought it was like the more really good players you have on the team, the better the team is going to be. Can you explain to me, can someone explain to me, send me a tweet, send me something on IG. Can you explain to me what the Miami Dolphins are doing? I do have to give them credit, though, because I would have bet a lot of money that I would be burying the 2025 Miami Heat before I buried the 2025 Miami Dolphins. But here we are. What the heck is their plan? So the Miami Dolphins want to get rid of Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey didn't ask for the trade. Well, that means they spoke and they said, look, we're going to trade you. And then the question came up about leaders, because I think this is pretty important, and I've been talking about it for quite some time, at least this offseason, the leadership around this team. So somebody asked Chris Greer about, do you find it concerning that you're losing all these leaders? And Greer's response was, no, we still have a lot of leaders in this organization and in that locker room. And he just started naming people. He was naming offensive linemen. Then he was asked about Tyreek, because he also said Tyreek's a leader. I have to chuckle there. He was asked if they're going to trade Tyreek. He said he wasn't shopping Tyreek. Nobody's called about Tyreek. At least another team hasn't called about Tyreek. And then Chris Greer says, well, hey, you know, if you call and offer us two first rounders, he's yours. Like, what? He said that he knows the needs of this team. He can get the needs, or at least some of the needs for this team, in the draft. Basically, the Miami Dolphins are going to replace experienced players, win-now players, with prospects. Guys who may or may not pan out. That's what I learned yesterday. And if you suggest to Chris Greer, like it was suggested during the press conference, hey, Chris, you know, this is a rebuild you're doing because the team's getting rid of a lot of really experienced players and putting in a bunch of young guys that you're going to draft. No. No, we're going to draft guys who are NFL ready. I'm looking at the draft, and I'm reading some stories about this draft. And what I see is that this is not even nearly one of the deepest drafts in recent memory. So, again, what are the Miami Dolphins doing here? You remember after last season, immediately once the season ended, Stephen Ross felt compelled to release a statement saying that Greer and McDaniel were safe. They were both keeping their jobs. That's what the owner wants to do. Have them both still in their positions. The fact that the owner had to come out with a statement that both are safe, doesn't that mean the thought of firing one or both of them had to be discussed? Their job security had to be on the table. Stephen Ross put out a statement. It was thought about, and he decided, I'm keeping him. And if you know that, and you're the GM or the head coach, you know you did not get in the playoffs last season. You know this franchise hasn't won a playoff game in 25 years. Is this the move to make you win? Get rid of veterans? I don't quite understand that. Now, Mike McDaniel did hint after the season was over that the locker room was bad. He said flat out guys were late a lot. He had to find guys a lot. If the locker room is bad, if it's not a room that likes or respects the head coach or really any of the authority in the organization, what do you do? Do you get rid of the head coach or do you get rid of a ton of players? The Miami Dolphins apparently decided, let Mike McDaniel clear out the veterans because Mike McDaniel is our guy and some of these veterans might not be the right fit. Now, Calais Campbell, the dude's a former Walter Payton Man of the Year. I don't think he was an issue at all. The issue to me with Calais is that he sees Arizona as a better situation than Miami. Tyreek Hill keeps getting in trouble. He keeps getting his name in the headlines for the wrong reason. Chris Greer called him a leader. He's a team captain. Again, what are we doing here? What is Stephen Ross thinking? Yeah, Mike McDaniel apparently didn't have control of the locker room last season. But we like him. We're going to keep him. We're just going to let him get rid of the guys who weren't down with his culture. And we're going to replace them with new guys from the draft and hope that everything works out. You guys want me to continue to go on about the Miami Dolphins and Chris Greer's press conference yesterday? Or you ready for me to move on to the next subject? I will say one more thing. This is a small request. Because I'm a talk show host. And I got to do months and months of shows, which I'm not complaining about. I love doing this. But I got to do a lot of shows between now and the end of football season. I am requesting that Carson Beck, the Miami Hurricanes quarterback, I am requesting that he be very good this season. Because I got a feeling, maybe tonight will be a good night, but I got a feeling that come football time, we are going to need the Miami Hurricanes big time to give us something to be fired up about. These Dolphins, you want to talk about the wind taken out of your sails in the middle of April? They don't play a game for another 5 months. And already, Dolphins fans are feeling like they are defeated. Slater, I felt that way for the last 20 years. Yeah, but at least there's some hope going into a season. How much hope do you have right now? Especially when Tua's personal coach is saying, bury the under. Slam the under. The Dolphins win total is 8.5. So tonight, I'm going to watch the Miami Heat while I'm having stone crabs. And then when I'm done having stone crabs, I'll just focus solely on the Miami Heat. Sure, it would be nice if Jimmy didn't torpedo their season and the Heat and Jimmy got along, because you may have seen Jimmy turned into, well, maybe I'll say play-in Jimmy for the Warriors last night. They advance, but the team Jimmy left behind had 37 wins. So the 37-win Miami Heat face Chicago in just a few hours. The Bulls beat the Heat all three times they played this season. I think tonight is just a case of in Spo we trust. We know Spo has it in him where the Heat are overmatched, and somehow you see his track record. He gets the best out of him. He's an all-time coach. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a three-time champ. I just got to say, all right, well, Spo, if anybody is going to be the reason to win this game tonight for the Heat, it's going to be Spo. Sure, he's not playing, but just put together a game plan and make it work. We know this Heat team is not very good. They haven't been good all year. They blow double-digit leads like it's nothing. They don't have the star power right now. They got Bam and Tyler, two all-stars, but not superstars. The real star is in Golden State, as he should have been moved, but still. Spo put together a good plan tonight, and somehow the Miami Heat, not like it would be some miraculous win, but somehow they beat the Bulls, which they haven't done at all this season. And then you move on to Atlanta to take on the Hawks, and we'll go from there. What I'll be discussing tomorrow, I would love to know right now. My guess is we're talking about the end of the Heat season. But that's just my guess. I wouldn't bet on it because they got Spo. In Spo we trust, and in Paul Maurice we trust. The Florida Panthers will be taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning yet again come playoff time. It should be more great theater, very exciting, way more fun to see the Panthers take on the Lightning than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe they'll take on the Leafs later on in the playoffs, but right now they will start on the other side of the state taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Panthers have not been playing the way you are used to seeing them play over the past couple of years. But Matthew Tkachuk should be coming back. Ekblad, he'll be back after two games. And Paul Maurice, you got to trust him. Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, you got to trust him too. He joins us next. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, what type of car are you in right now?
I'm in a Dodge Charger.
Should you not be in this car that I've seen all over the internet in the past 24 hours? You guys now have a Corvette. Why are you not driving a Corvette?
You know, that car's been in the transitioning phase of it, right? It was a seizure, by the way. It was a seizure from a drug investigation, right, in collaboration with our federal partners, DEA. So, yeah, it was seized from a drug dealer, right? And I've been, very involved in the process of the transitioning phase from making it a sports car to a police car, right? And it's a lot of very unique and interesting hurdles that are along the way, right, with making a Corvette into a police car. So the answer to your question is it's just one of one, you know, and it came from a seizure, like I said, and me being involved in the process of it, I understand some of the hurdles that came in place, but obviously it's a big deal. It's making a lot of headlines out there. The car is phenomenal. It looks great. And it's, you know, it's going to be put to a good use for sure.
So the car was used in some drug trafficking deal and then you guys just take it?
It was part of an investigation. Yeah, it was part of an investigation or a case rather, where our, criminal interdiction team in the Fort Myers area, again, in collaboration with our federal partners, the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, you know, this became an asset that was available as a forfeiture and it was awarded to the department to, you know, put it to use. And, you know, again, so kind of, you know, you hear it all the time, right? It was seized from a drug dealer, but it's so true. It couldn't be further from the truth, right? Like, this car was actually taken from a drug dealer as an investigation case. And now we're putting that car, as you've seen on all these platforms and it's kind of, going somewhat viral on social media, because it's a very unique car. It's one of one. And, you know, it's kind of a good story, right? A happy ending sort of to a good story, right? You're putting a car that was seized and now we're doing community outreach with it. We're doing recruitment with it. We're doing actually even patrolling with the car. So it's just, yeah. it's a cool story.
I was just going to ask you, are you guys pulling people over in the Corvette?
Yeah. It's fully equipped. It's got a computer stand in it. It's got a radio in it. It's got emergency lights in it. It's got sirens. I mean,
Does it have a back seat?
No.
So then
that's the only thing.
So this is good. So if you get pulled over by the Corvette, you can't get arrested.
Well, you can. You just won't get taken to jail in the Corvette, right?
Someone else is going to come scoop you up.
If you need to get, well, scoop, I like how you use the word scoop there. Yeah. So if you need to get taken to jail, it won't necessarily be in the Corvette. We'll have to call another car for the transport.
So what else did you guys take from the drug dealer? Are you using everything from the drug dealer, including everything that was in the car, all the items, or just the vehicle itself?
No, I think the rest of it is being used as being stored rather as evidence, right, for the case. But the car, you know, it was an opportunity for the department to seize the car, and we did just that. And you know, not every time that you seize a car does the department get to keep it. You know, it has to. You know, we've seized Ferraris before, Lamborghinis before, but then when you get into, you know, transitioning those cars into police cars, it's the little things people don't think about sometimes, like, you know, the maintenance of that car. Like, for example, doing, you know, the brakes on that car on a Lamborghini would be, you know, maybe $15,000, and that's just not justifiable, right, for taxpayer dollars. So the Corvette kind of fit in. It's a domestic car, and it just works, and we got it. We got it rewarded as an asset, and we're putting it to work. We're putting it to use and highlighting what our guys are doing out there every day.
Do you guys seize a lot of things? I mean, I know this is something we hear about, and it's being talked about nationally now because it's very different. But do you guys do all these seizures quite often, and where does it wind up?
Quite often, yeah. So we just had one recently that was, again, transitioned into a police car. That was a Camaro. That was also part of a seizure in which the department was rewarded with it. That one was also, you know, turned into a police car. Then the Corvette, obviously much newer, much nicer car. But there's seizures vehicles all the time that maybe are not so fit to be patrol cars. But, you know, across the statewide, they can be utilized as a departmental asset for something else, maybe a, you know, like a pickup truck, let's say, that can't really be a police car, but maybe it can be utilized throughout another one of our headquarters throughout the state to do just, you know, maintenance type work or, you know, anything kind of utilized for purposes like that. But they don't really make headlines like a Corvette being a police car does.
What about like a seized souped up Honda or something that you see out there? I mean, with the mufflers and it's really loud. You guys wouldn't like put Florida Highway Patrol on that?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's it hasn't been done. I know we've had Corvettes in the past that have been police cars, but I've never really seen like a souped up Honda. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not even sure if some of those are C's. I know we had a big pickup truck, like a lifted 4x4 once that I wanted to make a outreach vehicle. And, you know, for whatever reason it was seized, but it wasn't kept in Miami and I wasn't able to, you know, transition it or make it into a kind of an outreach car. But
well, if you guys can do it, I'm sure that security company with the same colors as you guys, whatever they were called, I'm sure they won't have a problem doing it. Again, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, I saw a video. This came out of Volusia County. It involved a crash and then another crash with a deer, and then a trooper was almost hit. What exactly happened?
Yeah, I read that. I don't know much about it. I know it was on I-95, and it was a Volusia County, I want to say Volusia County deputy sheriff and a trooper that were investigating a crash involving a, you know, a car versus a deer. Not very typical in South Florida area, but nonetheless, it was a car that I guess struck a deer. And as a result, there was an SUV that ran off the road and hit that Volusia County officer's vehicle for whatever the reason was. I don't have all the information. Might have been distracted or might have just not have moved over. Who knows what it was, but could have ended a lot worse. Luckily, it was just the Volusia County deputy sheriff's vehicle that was struck, I believe. I don't think neither the deputy sheriff or the trooper were injured. So that's always good news. But again, just always a reminder, right? Move over for those blue and red lights and, you know, and get off those devices, put those devices down and just, you know, defensive driving, all these things that just avoid these types of incidents.
I hope you guys didn't get any calls about anybody getting hit around 12 o'clock this afternoon on the turnpike in Miami-Dade, Lieutenant, because I was driving. I was leaving the Hard Rock earlier today, and there was somebody on the left shoulder changing a battery, and they were bringing the battery with like some wheel thing, and it was right next to the line almost on the road, and they're standing there.
So I'm
like,
scary.
What the heck are you doing? So
yeah,
if you got to do anything on the side of the road, what's the best thing you should do?
You shouldn't. You really shouldn't. My wife called me the other day and she said, she saw a guy running across the road picking up some debris that fell off. I guess he was in the construction industry and some of his, I guess, materials or his, you know, stuff fell out into the roadway, and he was literally, you know, cutting across two or three lanes to. Jeez. Pick up some, you know, some, I don't know, whatever materials it was, but, you know, it's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth your life. If you have to absolutely, you know, if your car is disabled, you have a flat tire, you have a, you know, you have find yourself stranded, right? Before you get out of that car, just call that star 347 or call 911, whichever one's star FHP. And make sure you get a road ranger out there at the very least that can, you know, have those lights on for you, that can set up that taper, that lane closure to create that, you know, barrier, that safer area. And then we'll get a trooper out there as well to assist you in any way we can. But, you know, don't try to take it upon yourself to do that and think, you know, that you're just not going to be, you know, involved in some type of incident or somebody's not going to hit you. It's just not worth it.
A couple more things. Again, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Since we last spoke, I believe this happened on Friday, there was that unfortunate plane crash, the small plane in Boca Raton, almost on I-95, I mean, right off of I-95. Is there anything that people, I mean, if they see something going wrong, see a plane flying low or a helicopter, whatever it may be, just what do you do? Just get away from the area? I mean...
You know, I mean, I heard this incident that area is a little further away from where I am, but I definitely heard about it. I think it was right off of that that Boca Airport in that area, right off of 95. But, you know, there's really not much, I think, as a motorist that you can do, because realistically, you're paying, if you're a safe driver, you're paying attention to what's happening on the road, right? You're not always kind of looking up at the sky and – And who knows what happened? We saw what happened in New York with the helicopter. Mm-hmm. You know, now this in South Florida here. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, because these things are very rare, and they don't you know. I think right. motorists thankfully. Wouldn't be prepared for that. Yeah, yeah, thankfully for sure. I think you're not prepared for that as a motorist, but when it does happen, luckily this one happened off the highway. Right. What you can do is just pay attention to the if you use like some of these traffic applications that give you kind of the fastest or best routes, you know, pay attention to that. They'll kind of tell you, hey, there's an incident that occurred here. You know, pay attention to those media outlets. That's just the most proactive way, I think, to try to avoid those scenes where traffic could be congested and it could create a lot of. You know, people in that state where they're just delayed, you know?
Well, based on situations or incidents that happen, Lieutenant, I mean, we don't have to go as far as a small plane crashing, but I've seen it where if something just happens, you see a lot of people, Lieutenant, making U-turns or going, like, exiting the highway from where you're supposed to be entering the highway before any law enforcement's there. So, like, you can't really do that, can you? Or
no. People do find themselves in like a desperation mode, right? Right when an incident first happens, and traffic is at an absolute standstill, not even moving, you know, at all. We get it all the time where people are making U-turns and they're kind of driving counterflow, and mm-hmm. and that's an absolute no. What we do typically there is we respond and we shut down entrance ramps. And we kind of understand if it's going to be a long-term closure, then we'll flush traffic out. We'll facilitate that. But no, the answer is no. Don't ever find yourself making that U-turn to try to go counterflow to avoid a backup, you know, because law enforcement's aware of it, and we're going to do everything we can to facilitate, whether it's either opening up the road, you know, partially to get traffic out of the way, or if it's going to be a long-term closure, we'll make sure we can get traffic flushed out some way or the other.
Yeah, and you know how that goes. One person does it, and then one person gets behind them, and you know what? That's they're doing it. I'm going to do it too, and then everybody just starts doing it. Yep.
Yes, it is.
Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol. I am going to Spain for a couple of weeks. So
nice.
I won't have you on the next two Wednesdays, but when I'm back from Spain, we'll talk about maybe the roads in Spain. We'll have a Have you been to Spain?
I have. It's a beautiful country. So enjoy it, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you. All right. Take care, Lieutenant.
Okay.
Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol. I'm not going to be doing any driving in Spain. I'll be doing walking. I'll take taxis and take a train to Madrid. All right. That's all the time I got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.